Bibles, if you would, to Song of Solomon, chapter 1. Continue our study in Song of Solomon. Tonight's message is called Draw Me. Draw Me. Let's read Song of Solomon 1 to 7. The first verse tells us that this is a song, and then from verses 2 to 7, we have the bride confessing her love for the bridegroom. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is an ointment poured forth, therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, and we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I am black but comely. O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me, because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard I have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Now last week we looked at verse 3, in which we considered the savor, the smell of the good ointments of Christ, the ointments of His grace, which are poured forth to us, to the bride, in Christ. And we considered the preciousness also of His name. How precious is the name of Christ to the believer? How precious it is. It was a name once that some of us used as a byword, and now it's a name that's so precious. So precious. And God had mercy on us, didn't He? He had mercy on us. And now that name, oh, it's the name above every name. It warms our hearts when we think and we hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. And His name is wonderful, wonderful to His people. It's like an ointment poured forth. Now tonight we're going to look at verse 4. And we note here, it's the bride petitioning the bridegroom to draw her. The bride is petitioning the bridegroom to draw her. And I was pondering this verse and studying, the thought came to me, those would never be the words of a man or woman in their natural state. It would never be the words of us before the Lord saved us. The bride who's born again of the Holy Spirit says, draw me, Lord. Knowing He's already drawn us to Him, right? But we continually. What's the scripture say? We hunger and thirst after righteousness. Lord, draw me. Draw me close, Lord. Draw me close. Draw me. So these are the words. These are the words of God's people, of His bride. Of His bride. Because before we were saved, we did not desire Christ. We did not desire the gospel of Christ. We did not desire God's people. We did not desire to read His word. But now, there's no one I'd rather be with than God's people. There's nothing I'd rather hear than the gospel preached and proclaimed. My. And there's nothing I'd rather read than His word, right? His word is precious to us. It's precious. It speaks to us, to our hearts. And the born-again believer, the bride of Christ, cries out, draw me. Draw me. Even after we've been drawn by the Holy Spirit to run to Christ, we still cry out, draw me. Draw me. And it's our continuous cry. It's a continuous cry of the born-again believer. The continuous cry of we who have been redeemed. Lord, draw me. Draw me near as I struggle. Draw me near as I struggle with my sin. Draw me near as I go through trials and tribulations in this world. Draw me near, Lord. Draw me near. Draw me near as I journey through this life. Draw me near. Draw me near when I hear the gospel preached, that I might find comfort and strength in the preached word. Because who does it point us to? It points us to Christ. It points us to our bridegroom. And you who are born again, who are a blood-bought saint of God, is not this your cry? Is not this your cry to the Redeemer? Draw me, Lord. Draw me. When you think of the excellency of Christ, when you ponder the excellencies of Christ, when you ponder Christ's love for you, when you just think upon it, when you consider the savor of his ointments, and when you consider the preciousness of his name, do you not in love cry out to him, Lord, draw me. Draw me and I'll run after you. I'll run after you. It says here in the scriptures, draw me, we will run after you. The king has brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in you. We will remember your love more than wine, the upright love you. Now, when God again draws a sinner to Christ, we looked at this morning, it's effectual, isn't it? It's effectual. God calls a poor sinner by his grace, and he brings the sinner to Christ. He brings the sinner to Christ. Hosea says this. Hosea 11:4 says this. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. He lovingly draws us to the Savior. And I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws. Freedom in Christ. Freedom in Christ. And I laid meat unto them. He feeds us by his word. He feeds us by his word. God lovingly draws his people to Christ, and he alone grants them faith. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 6. He alone grants them faith, and he alone grants them repentance. And what happens when God, the God of all grace, grants faith and repentance? They flee to Christ. They believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what Scripture proclaims here in John chapter 6. Look at verses 44 and 45. Now this is pretty plain, but people don't believe this. They think that they're the ones who draw themselves to Christ, or they're the ones who run to Christ. Look what it says. No man. No man. One syllable words. No man can. Another one syllable. Come to me. Notice how the Lord speaks in one syllable words. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I'll raise him up at the last day. No man on the top side of this earth has the ability to come to Christ on their own. No man. That's what the Scripture says right there. No man. So if you've come to Christ, if I've come to Christ, it's because the Father drew us. Isn't it wonderful? It's wonderful, beloved. And the bride still says, draw me. Draw me. Draw me. And it says, I will raise them up at the last day. There's no maybe about it, is it? And then look at John 6:45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Everything you and I know about Christ, everything we know about God, we've been taught. He's revealed it to us. So that we can boast in nothing. Nothing. It's all revealed. Every man, therefore, that hath heard, who he's given hearing ears to, and hath learned of the Father, what? Cometh unto me. Cometh unto me. So no man can come on his own, except the Father which sent me draw him. And all that the Father draw comes unto Christ. And then the bride continues to say, draw. Draw me, Lord. Draw me. No man or woman has power to come to Christ. We lack not only the power, but we lack the ability to come to Christ in our natural state. We're spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. The sinner in his natural state is stout-hearted. Stout-hearted. Far from righteousness. Averse to Christ and the way of salvation. But by the mighty grace of God, the God of all grace, the stout heart is bought down. Bought down. And made willing. Made willing to submit to God's way of salvation, which is trusting in Christ alone. And trusting our eternal souls to Christ and Him alone. And as we saw in that text, it's all by God's drawn power. All by, the old timers called it fetching grace. Fetching grace. Remember David said about Mephibosheth? Go and fetch him. Go and fetch him. And the Holy Spirit goes and fetches the lost sheep and turns them right to Christ. And then they just run. They run. And the bridegroom says this. Look what the bridegroom says. Draw me and what? We will run after you. We will run after you. Unconverted sinners are unwilling to come to Christ for life. But those who belong to the election of grace are made willing in the day of Christ's power. And it is those who have experienced this drawing power spoken of in our text. And it's those who cry out, draw me, draw me. We will run after you. We will run after you. Notice how centered she is on him. Notice how centered she is on the bridegroom, beloved. Draw me, we will run after you. She's centered on the bridegroom. To know Jesus is to love him supremely. To love him with all our hearts. He's everything to us. And to his true followers, he's the object of their delight. He's the source of our joy. Nothing else stands in comparison to him. Think about how you used to think. What you used to think of Christ and what you used to think about people who were born again or who, right? And think of how you feel about God's people now. What a change. What a change. Think about how you thought about Christ before and how you think about Christ now. The believer is a new creature. And our desires, we desire him. We'll run after him. And this is the bride saying this. Draw me, we will run after you. He's the object of our delight, the source of our joy. And she cries out for the bridegroom to continue to draw her. For she wants no other, beloved. She wants no other. And she desires to be in his presence in constant communion with him. Draw me, we will run after you. And the note here too. Take this note. Remember we saw over in John 6, 44, no man can come to me except the Father who sent me, right? Draw him. Look what the bride says. The bride speaks of her inability. She speaks of her own inability to come to Christ. She must be drawn, beloved. She must be drawn. And when she's drawn, sure, run to Christ. What are we as God's sheep? Even after we're saved, we're prone to wander. We're prone to wander, aren't we? We wander over here. And the Lord's, he gets that shepherd's staff and the crook there, puts it around enough, just brings us gently back over here. Come on back over here. We're prone to wander, beloved. Prone to wander, but our wonderful bridegroom lovingly draws us back to himself. And we run to him. And this is why we have to have that article by Henry in the Bulletin is about God's people. We desire to hear the gospel preached continuously, all the time, because it's constantly drawing us back to Christ, bringing us back to him. Oh my. We need to have the gospel preached to us again and again and again. And this is what the bride desires, because she cries out here, draw me, we will run after you. So she has one object. She speaks of her inability, right? And she has one object, Christ. Christ. And look at this too. It says, draw me, we'll run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. Note she cries out, and note the response immediately. The king brings her into his secret chambers of mercy. My, in grace. And how much is the scripture brought forth here which proclaims this? Isaiah 65, 24 says this, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. Before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Draw me, we will run after the king hath brought me into his chambers. My beloved. He has drawn, she ran, and the results are abundantly satisfying. We now find her in the company of the king. The king. The king hath brought me into his chambers. Not Solomon, for a greater than Solomon is spoken of here. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, beloved, who must have the preeminence. The king. Know what he's called? The king. There's only one who's the king of the whole world. There's only one who's the king of kings and the lord of lords. There's only one who's the king of the saints. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ, beloved. He has complete universal rule. And his rule is over all the empires of the world, all the governments of the world, princes and principalities, heaven and earth. He rules over heaven, earth, and hell. He rules supreme, beloved. And these chambers here represent, one commentator said, his own personal possessions. All the unsearchable riches of Christ are at her disposal. Are at her disposal. And beloved, we know that the elect of God have all spiritual blessings in Christ alone. In Christ alone. His peace, his rest, his joy, his riches, the riches of his grace are all ours in Christ. And the present possessions the believer has in Christ, a full salvation, a complete salvation, being redeemed and purchased by his blood, being justified before God Almighty, before the holy and righteous God of the universe, all by the work of Christ. To be clothed in his perfect, spotless righteousness, all because of his work as our substitute in his life and in his death upon the cross. Now let us consider this. It would be a tremendous privilege for any common citizen to be admitted into the presence of an earthly prince, monarch, or king. I saw the queen once. I was in Sick Kids. I'd been in for some operations, and they wheeled me out in a wheelchair, and I got to see the queen go by, Queen Elizabeth. And that was a privilege. The queen mother was there too, and they were all in the cart going by, and that was a privilege. And I still remember it. But to be in the presence, to be brought into the chambers of the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. My. So we contrast what a privilege it would be for a common citizen to be admitted into the presence of an earthly king, or an earthly prince, or an earthly monarch. But contrast this with what we have before us here. An unworthy sinner of unclean lips to be brought into the royal chambers of His Majesty, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What a privilege. What an honor. And it is so with the bride of Christ, beloved. She's brought into the King's chambers. What great mercy we have here manifested before us. What love and compassion is manifested here before us. The one who rules and reigns in heaven above brings us into his chamber, brings his people into his chamber. His ways of grace are higher than our ways of our thoughts. His thoughts of mercy are higher than any of our thoughts of mercy, right? Scripture declares this in Isaiah 55. It says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. Higher than far, and my thoughts than your thoughts." What humility is shown here, beloved. What condescension is here before us. Our gracious and benevolent King not only permits sinners with a criminal past, and we're all criminals, right? Because we're all sinners. We've broken the law of God in our natural state. People don't like to hear that, but that's what we are by birth. Rebels and criminals who have broken the law of God. But our benevolent King not only permits sinners with a criminal past to live in His glorious kingdom, but He alone, by His sovereign hand of love, fetches us, beloved, from the sinful state of our depravity. And he fetches us and brings us into his chambers. My, what a Savior. What a Redeemer is Jesus Christ, my Lord. And he says, the bride says here, draw me, we'll run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We who are redeemed are brought into the covenant chambers of Christ, of his amazing grace. And note here, it's he who has brought us in. Look what the text says. The king hath brought me into his chambers. He brought me in. He fetched me. He drew me. Now he's brought me into his chambers. She could never have entered into the chambers without being bought in by him. Think of that, beloved. My goodness. And let us note next the joy that the bride has. Look at the joy that the bride has. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. No wonder. She knows her inability. She knows that she could never have entered into his chambers without him bringing her in. And she rejoices. She rejoices, beloved. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. Let's read the whole verse again. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. Now we see those who are brought into the king's chamber, they're glad. They rejoice. They're not walking around with long faces, are they? No, they're rejoicing. They're glad. The Lord saved me. The Lord drew me. And I had no ability to come on my own. But by his mercy and his grace, he saved me. These are those who've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're glad. And it says they remember his love more than wine. These are those that, through the grace of God and Christ, have been brought into covenant and communion with God through Christ. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 8. And they have reason to go on their way rejoicing, beloved. They have reason because they're redeemed. They're saved. This fills the believer with joy. And we see here with the eunuch in the book of Acts, beloved, he goes on rejoicing. Look at Acts 8:37-39. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way what? Rejoicing. Oh, he's rejoicing. He's rejoicing. He's born again of the Holy Spirit of God. He's rejoicing in his salvation, which is in Christ and him alone. He believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. He believes that he's the Son of God. And he goes on his way rejoicing. Rejoicing. And notice in our text it says, we will be glad and rejoice in thee. Now notice again. Notice again the singularity. In thee. We rejoice in Christ. We rejoice in him. We rejoice in what he's done for us. My. We'll be glad and rejoice. Two words with one sense. Double joy, blessedness upon blessedness. Glad and rejoice. There should be no limit to our rejoicing, beloved, in the Lord. When we think of God's grace given to us, when we meditate upon that, when we think upon that, when we ruminate upon that, It'll be as an ointment poured forth, beloved. It'll make your heart rejoice. It will fragrance this journey here on earth with joy and gladness. Even though we'll go through trials and we have tears and tribulation, we do, and sorrow. But oh, we can rejoice, beloved. We've been drawn by the King of Kings. We've been brought into His chambers. My. When we consider His person, God incarnate in the flesh, when we consider His salvation, that all our sins are forgiven, when we consider His love to His people, not just to us personally, but His love to all of God's elect, when we consider that He left heaven, He left heaven to come to this world, and He knew He was coming here to die. He knew He was the Lamb of God. He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. What love! What love, beloved. When we consider that, when we just think on that, it should fill our souls and our hearts with joy and gladness. Because the believer can say, He did that for me. Oh my, what a Savior. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 30. Psalm 30. Do you know what it'll do? When we think upon Christ, when we think upon Him, it turns our mourning or our sorrows into dancing, beloved. We just rejoice. We rejoice in what He's done for us. Look at Psalm 30, verses 10 to 12. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be Thou my helper. And what a helper He is to His people. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. Is that not what the bride said? To the end that my glory may spring praise to Thee. Well, she remembers His love. She remembers His love. Should be glad and rejoice in Thee. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness to the end that my glory may sing praise to Thee. Notice the singularity again of it. And be not silent. God's people won't be silent about Christ. They won't. Brother Scott Richardson said it leaks out of us. It leaks out of us. Oh my. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto Thee forever. And note the bride, who the bride rejoices in. Note in our text, draw me, we will run after Thee. The King hath brought me into His chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in Thee. In Thee. She rejoices in the King. And is it not so with we who being redeemed? Do we not rejoice in our King, the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we not glad when we ponder what the Lord's done for us? We are complete in Christ. Complete in Christ. Complete in Him. Complete in Him. He has purchased us from the slave block of sin by His own precious blood. And it is in Him alone, that we rejoice. We rejoice in no other. And when the bride considers how she's been drawn with loving kindness and that all her spiritual needs are found in Christ, she rejoices, beloved. She rejoices. And she's glad. And she enters in rejoicing. Rejoicing in Him. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 45. Psalm 45. Verses 13 to 15. Psalm 45, verses 13 to 15. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is wrought of gold. She shall be brought unto the king in the raiment of needlework. The virgins or companions that follow her shall be bought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be bought. They shall enter into the king's palace. She enters into the presence of the king with gladness and rejoicing. And she rejoices in him. Is it not so in our text too? The bride of Christ, we rejoice in Christ and him alone. And next, let us note in our text, draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath bought me into his chambers. We shall be glad and rejoice in thee. We rejoice in Christ and him alone. But look at this. We will remember thy love more than wine. We will remember thy love more than wine. Beloved, his love is far better than the world's best wine. It's not a plant that grows among the weeds of this earth. No, it's from the everlasting. It's holy, it's divine, his love. It's a divine love given to us by the Holy Spirit of God. You know, Scripture says in Romans chapter 5, it says this, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. It's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Think of this, when we take the cup and the bread at the Lord's Supper, we remember what our King has done for us. We remember the great love which was manifest towards us, towards his people at Calvary's tree. And we rejoice, beloved. Sometimes we rejoice with tears of joy because we ponder what it cost. We ponder what it cost. Sometimes we rejoice with tears of gladness. And sometimes we just rejoice in his great love. But see, the Lord's table is for us to remember what he's done. To remember what he's done. Remember what it cost for our salvation. And to reflect. In God's people, we're always remembering. We're always remembering. When we take the cup and the bread at the Lord's Supper, we remember again what he's done. We track the love of Christ for his people from the Scriptures from eternity past, where we were chosen in Christ. And it's all because we're loved by God with an everlasting love, and we remember that, and we rejoice, don't we? We look to the cradle where Christ was born to be our Savior. And he was born to be our Savior. He was born to save us from our sins, and we remember that, don't we? And we rejoice. We remember that, and we rejoice. We see the cross, where his love was manifest like no other love. No other love in this world. And we see him dying in our place as our substitute before God's law and justice. We see him having our sins imputed to him. And we see that all that was demanded for our sins is paid for. And we remember and we rejoice. We look to the grave where he was buried. And we see his resurrection. The tomb is empty. It's empty. He's gone. And we know from Scripture that he was raised for our justification. And we remember. And we rejoice. And now we look to our Savior in glory. By faith, we see him seated right now at the right hand of God as our mediator. And we know that where he is, we shall soon be there. And we remember. And we rejoice. And it fills our hearts with gladness, beloved, and joy. Through all this, we trace his everlasting love. And we remember. And we rejoice in Christ alone. The bride, God's elect, we find our joy and gladness in remembering and marveling in the secret wonders of the great King's redeeming love to his people. Never let the gospel become commonplace to you. Never. And God's people, for us, we never grow tired of hearing the gospel preached. Because it tells us of our Savior. It tells us of him. I remember Brother Henry saying about Psalm 23, and he said people read it so much that it almost becomes commonplace to them. And he said it ought never to be so. Scripture ought never to become commonplace to us, no matter how many times we've heard it. No matter how many times we've heard it. It should always bring us joy and gladness. Because we remember and we rejoice in God's everlasting mercy to us and in the immutable purpose of His grace and salvation for His people in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, the text says, "Draw me and we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee." And here we close with the latter part of our text here. The upright love thee. And by the upright here are sincere followers of Christ, not mere professors. And there's a lot of people who just profess. But these are sincere followers of Christ. And they are no way upright in themselves. Not at all. In Christ they are. They're upright in Christ and Him alone. Clothed in this perfect, spotless righteousness. David calls them the undefiled in the way. David says this, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord." Psalm 119:1. The undefiled in the way. I like that. My. Turn, if you would, to Ruth. We have a picture. We have the picture in the book of Ruth with the converted Moabite. Here's the language of every true believer. And we find the language of the true believer in what Ruth says to Naomi. And this is wonderful. Just think upon this scripture. Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." What a statement. Let us turn to John chapter 21. And we'll see our Master talking to one of His sheep whom He's redeemed, one who's been purchased by His blood. John chapter 21. And think of this. Simon had denied the Lord. Simon Peter denied the Lord three times, didn't he? But look what our Master says. Look at the loving words. And may we think about these. May we think about these words. Look how precious these words are. John 21, verses 15 to 17. "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord. Thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs." Now notice what the Lord's... Now, Peter has denied the Lord three times. Okay, think about what happens in religion. You mess up, you are kicked to the curb, man. Right? Peter denied the Lord three times. See, religion's awful. Because it inspects every little thing and brings out every little fault in people. But grace doesn't do that. There's enough fault in me and there's enough fault in you to burn this whole building down, right? But look what grace does. Look what God says to one of His redeemed sheep right here. This is absolutely beautiful. He saith to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." He's not hammering him, is he? He keeps bringing Peter to him. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. What a Savior, beloved. This is the one whom we've been brought into his chambers. This is the one who the bride says, draw me. Draw me and I'll run to you. Draw me. Oh, Lord Jesus, we come before thee. And we have seen tonight our utter inability to come to thee. And we know that the only reason we who believe come to you is because you have drawn us. And we cry out, Lord, please keep drawing us. Draw us near, Lord. As John the Baptist said, you must increase and I must decrease. Oh, Lord, draw us. Help us. Be our strength and our guide and our shield through the trials and storms of this life. We know that you are an ever-present help. And we marvel when we see this, that we who are sinners are brought into the King of Kings, the chambers of the King of Kings, you, the King. And we marvel at the mercy and the grace and the love which you have for your people. And we see how you treated Peter. Lovest thou me? Oh, Lord. We know that the love we have for you is only because you first loved us. And this brings us low, Lord, but it exalts you high. What a Savior you are to us, Lord. May we leave this place rejoicing today. And we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.